start my next book on Ephesians until I come back. And so today I want to talk about our faith. And I want us to learn we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's the title of my message this morning, to fix our eyes on Jesus. So, Father, as we just gather here today, I thank you that you would speak to us through your word. And I pray that this message would change the focus of our lives as we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I heard this story about a lady, this is in America. Her name was Lois, not Loris, Lois. And she didn't like flying on small planes, you know, the Rex-type planes here. Now, her husband was in ministry and he had to travel a lot, you know, from one end of America to the other, and quite often connecting flights were the smaller planes. And if she was going to accompany her husband on one of those trips, she would say, "What plane are we going on?" And if he would say, "There's a small one in there," she said, "Well, I'm not going. I'm not going." And one particular time they were planning this trip and her question again was, "Well, what size plane is it?" And if it was small, "No, thank you, not going." Her husband said to her, "Lois, you just don't have enough faith." And she would say, "No, you just don't have enough plane." So a few days later, the airline sent an email to say, with the itinerary, and now that plane had been changed to a bigger one, you know, a Boeing 737 or something, instead of one of those smaller ones. And Lois said, "That's right, I'm packing my bags and I'm coming." Her husband replied with, "So your faith grew, Lois?" She said, "No, just the plane grew." You see, the size of her faith wasn't the problem. It was the size of the object in which she was placing her faith. So I want to take some time today to challenge us and talk about our faith and where our focus is. We've all been given a measure of faith. The Bible tells us that. So you can't say I have none because you've been given a measure, okay? And it's what we place that measure of faith in that matters. For example, if I have my faith in a chair to hold me up and that chair's got a wonky leg or a broken seat, it doesn't matter how much faith I've got, that chair won't hold me up. So we've got to make sure that our faith is in something that is strong and that is sure and that won't let us down. So where have you placed your faith? You know, and as we go through different seasons in life, whether it be in our personal lives or maybe things suddenly turn upside down, and it's shaky, unstable times in the world today, and what's happening out there and the wars going on. This time, more than ever, believers in Jesus need to check and reevaluate where our faith is and that it hasn't been wrongly placed in something else. You know, we can wrongly place our faith into another person and we can trust them so much that if they let us down, our world is shattered. Or even a circumstance that we're so believing for and it doesn't work out the way we think it's going to, we're shattered again. We can place our faith into our ambition and things like this. But our faith should be in God, the one that we can trust to carry us through our lives to completion, the one of whom the foundation of the entire world was established, the one who created the heavens and the earth with just the words from his mouth, and the one who has eternally won the victory for you and me. Our faith should be in God, the God who was, who is and who is to come. That's where our faith and our focus should be. So if we would position ourselves and our faith in him, we know that he will never abandon us through life's journeys. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, says we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And if our faith is in him, our plane isn't going down. If our faith is in our achievements, well, they're fleeting. If our faith is in our health, it will eventually fail. If our faith is even in our feelings, you know, feelings are fickle. They lie to us. 1 minute they're up, then they're down. If our faith is even in our spouse or another person, well, they're flawless. I mean, they're not flawless, those ones. And if our faith has been positioned in our own plans, our own ambitions, well, they're left to the whims of the future. So our faith cannot even be placed in our own optimism or rooted in our own financial stability, because all of those are external and at any point they can change. And all of those things are still too small. They're still temporary and they will not carry us through to our destiny. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it gives us the answer here. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And then in the Amplified, which I love the way it says, looking away from all that will distract us, focusing our eyes on Jesus. It's looking away from everything that's bigger at the moment. What problems are we focusing on? What's happened to us that we're focusing on and we're taking our eyes off him? But we have to be intentional and deliberate and turn our attention away from everything else, for even from our own strengths or even our own weaknesses, our troubles and our issues and our valid concerns, even our diagnoses or our financial difficulties or family struggles. They're all happening around us. It's not that we don't notice them. We don't ignore them. We're not in denial or avoiding them. You see clearly what the problem is and what the ambition and the goal is. But then, once you've recognised it, we have to pivot our attention back and focus on Jesus. So if you've been struggling to find the courage in the midst of all that might be happening in your world, all the struggles personally or globally, I want to encourage you from that book of Hebrews, which says, look away from all that distracts us. So what are you looking at? And where is your faith situated? Sometimes I think we even place our faith in our ability to worry, because if we worry, then we feel better that we're taking this problem on, or our stress. But everything changes depending what you look at. When you scroll through social media or watch the news or flick channels or whatever, all these things are vying for our attention. And some of those, when we give them our attention, will cause us discouragement, worry and stress. Because if we look at our problems for too long, they are taking you from fixing your eyes on Jesus. God is still sovereign and he's still on the throne. He is still who he says he is and he still does what he says he can do. Nothing is outside the control of our great God. And if we would meditate on his word, the truth of God, we would see that he has promises for our lives. He has promises for our families, promises about our health. So we have to meditate on the word more than we focus on other things. There's a story in scripture that I often get drawn back to, and it was a strength at a certain time in my life to me. And it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's a story about a man whose name was Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And there's a verse that leaps out at me every time I go back and look at it. I underlined it years ago. It spoke to me greatly then and still is relevant to me today. It's in verse 12. And there were armies coming at Jehoshaphat and Judah. They were under attack and everything was heating up. And this is what King Jehoshaphat says to his army. O God, will you not judge them? This is the one I want you to look at. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming up against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat was just being very raw and honest before God as he cries out. He's got this army, he's got these things coming at him, left, right and centre, surrounding them at all areas. And he just confesses that, God, we're powerless and we don't know what to do. But what he did know was they were going to set their eyes on Jesus. Now, Jehoshaphat, he was a good king. And he was known for revering God, honouring God, and for leading his people into relationship with God, the true God. He was known for acting honestly and courageously and resolutely. And he was trying to get everyone under his jurisdiction to honour God as the one true God. But what made this king, who had power, he was the king, what made him turn this way? Because he had tactical teams, he had armour, he had weapons, he had everything at his disposal that he could have needed. So what would make this great king call out to God and say, I'm powerless and I have no idea what to do? This multitude of armies, this trouble that he was facing was so chaotic and so overwhelming and discouraging that he just knew that he was powerless to face it all. But in chapter 19, the last verse of chapter 19, it tells us, it sets it up for chapter 20, and it says that Jehoshaphat acted resolutely, courageously, that is, and he was upright. And it said that God was with the upright. So he'd made a resolution in the chapter before. And this also tells me in our own lives about the schemes of the enemy. Because as soon as we make a decision to be resolute, to say, God, I'm going to bring my tithes and offerings each week, or God, I'm going to do this, God, I'm going to spend every day with you, the multitudes come against us to water down our resolution. I mean, you think about it. Sometimes I've been somewhere and I think, I'm going to give to that cause, you know, and then I get in the car and I might just give that much. And by the time I get home, I'm giving nothing because I've made this resolution. The thoughts are coming in my head and the enemy's trying to water it down. I mean, I'm sure you all have the same issues that I do. You know, as soon as we make that decision or that commitment, even to be in the Word of God or to be water baptized or to be in church every week, the enemy will come, bring the multitudes, bring every excuse that happens because he knows your weakness, so he's going to bring something that's going to make you stay home or make you not do that. You know, especially when we see people make a decision for Jesus and to be baptized, the enemy comes in like a flood. And just like the king of Judah, you know, when you make those resolutions, you can expect that the enemy's probably on his way to water down our decisions because he's always scheming against us, isn't he? So more than ever, lights need to shine and more than ever, we need to be the salt of the earth and to be focusing our eyes on him. So Jehoshaphat makes this resolution in chapter 19. In the very next chapter, chapter 20, he finds the multitude coming toward him and admits he's powerless. But what he did know was his eyes were on Jesus. So just let's have a look at the verse 1 in chapter 20. It says, after this, well, that's after he made the resolution, okay? The armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Now, there's not one army, there's not two, but there's three that are coming toward him. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. Now, the thing is that Judah had already faced two of these armies before, the Moabites and the Ammonites. They'd had war against them before. So Judah and Jehoshaphat, they knew their strategies a bit. They knew, you know, their tactics and how they were going to come because they'd faced them before and they were well aware of them. Now, when I think of that, I think of the enemies that come against me that I've faced before, and quite often they're the same type of enemy that's coming at me. And I've started to wake up and go, okay, I know the strategy of that one. Like, it might be dressed a little bit differently, but the root of it is the same problem coming at us, whatever. Because the enemy only ever comes to steal, to kill and destroy. That's what he does. So if we just take a moment to look at this, what's coming at us, we can detect his fingerprints all over it. Because he's not creative, he's got no new tricks. They're the same tricks, just dressed up differently. You think about it. The issues, the dilemmas, the schemes, the tactics that he's been trying to use against you. If you look carefully, you'll see that they're the same enemy coming up that's been trying to trip us up for years, trying to trip up our marriages, our ministries, addictions, because he comes against us in the same way but in varied forms. And these aren't new enemies. When Graham and I occasionally have an argument or a disagreement, I guarantee that the root of it will be the same thing that we have had the same arguments for 30 years. And I'm like, I'm aware of it now. You know, so you change your tactics and you just tell him to get lost. You got it. You, not him, the devil. No, he can stay. Yeah. And when we face the enemy over and over again, we got to gird ourselves, don't we? Be prepared, be proactive in our walk with God to make sure that we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. Years ago, when we made the decision, 30-odd years ago, that we were going to tithe, because we had a decision to make in our business, go broke or trust God with our finances. We decided we'd trust God because he says you can test him in this, and we did. The moment we made that resolution, all hell broke loose against us. But we'd made that resolution and we did it, and within 1 week, God proved to us by our testing him that he would be faithful. And he was, and we've never stopped, and he has blessed us beyond measure. So we dealt with that enemy. So the enemy doesn't tend to bother me in that area. We still face financial opposition quite often, but I just go, thank you, God, that because we tithe, you are going to open the windows of heaven and you will provide all our needs according to your riches and glory in heaven. So he still tries. And quite often, you know, we look at the books and we go, but I just go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that this is your business. We're building a kingdom business, not a business unto ourselves. We see it as his blessing on us and to use that for kingdom purposes. I used to wake up years ago, I got that bad that I wouldn't even open the mail because I knew they were bills. Now they all come on emails. But that's how stressed I was about our situation. I wouldn't even open the bills till the end of the month because I just couldn't cope with the stress. I'd wake up stressing. But I found a scripture that helped me, and I just would repeat it over and over and over until I believed it. Because you can say it, but you've got to get it in your spirit. You've got to get it in your heart and in your mind, because that's where the devil comes. And I would say in the middle of the night, my God is going to supply all my needs. And I stopped waking up in the night because I dealt with that. And if you've got something that keeps coming at you, you've got to deal with that. And it's the word of God that deals with it. You know, so I just tell the devil in the middle of the night, to get lost, because God is in control of the things that I put my trust in him, and he proves faithful all the time. So what is it that makes you anxious and wakes you up? Well, then you need to find a scripture for yourself and speak that over yourself, whether it's healing or whether it's whatever it is. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and 12, he says, put on all of God's armour, so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Stand firm against the strategies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We know we're fighting the devil. We're not fighting each other. That helped me at times to realise that, you know, if we had things like the devil, it's the devil that's my enemy, not my husband, you know. And we've got to remind ourselves of that. And it was like these two enemies that in Judah that they were fighting and Jehoshaphat were facing, because they'd faced two of them before. They were common enemies. And Jehoshaphat, remember, he declared he was powerless before God. And then the thing was, they now had a new enemy. And sometimes in life, something so out left field comes in, like a diagnosis. And we don't know what to do. And this was Judah's thing, because now it was the alliance of the two old enemies and this new one, the Midianites. And that's why they felt powerful, because now there was this alliance against them. And that's the reality that we might feel when we get news from left field, when something completely unexpected happens. It's the weight of one thing on top of another when we're still probably dealing with the last lot. It might be, you know, a tragedy or something in our life. And now we feel surrounded on all sides. And that kind of reminded me of the children of Israel in Exodus, just when they fled from Egypt and they come up against the Red Sea, and there was no way through, and behind them is coming Pharaoh and the armies, and they felt surrounded at all sides. So what seemed impossible, it wasn't just the Red Sea in front of them, it was what was behind them, the whole Egyptian army coming up, and they, as they tried to escape. So it wasn't just that Red Sea there, that thing in front of us, it was what was behind them as well. And sometimes we know exactly how that all feels when we've got a struggle in life, you know, and something else comes up. Just we go, oh, what else is there now? And in the face of all that calamity and chaos, we can sometimes just feel like Jehoshaphat, I'm powerless. And that's the best place to be, and to fix our eyes on him, because we can't fix a lot of stuff. And if we will pay attention and fix our eyes on him, it will give us a sense of security and a sense of steadiness, because God isn't surprised by these things that happen. He knows. So we've got to get our focus off ourselves and on our problems and our eyes on him, and it will change the way you wake up. And I think God has probably wanted us to do that all along, refocusing our attention onto him, turning back to him, and have a fresh, fervent relationship with him. So it's time to fix our eyes back on him, back on the truth of God's word, and build our relationship back with him through his word and through prayer. And remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us. And we can have insight, and we can have revelation, and we can walk in wisdom and discernment because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we can walk in integrity all the days of our lives. So here's what I want to tell you, that the solution to all our problems and the encouragement is tucked away by admitting that we can't do it. We can't do it. And God wants a church whose eyes are back on him, not the programs or even the buildings, which is exciting. But maybe he wants to shake us awake, our spiritual complacency, and draw us back to him. He calls out to the church, to you and me. And we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because he is where our hope comes from. And do you know how Jehoshaphat conquered the multitude of armies? I haven't got these scriptures, but I'm going to read them. It says here in chapter 20, verse 15, he says, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Tomorrow, march out against them," he says, "and you'll find them coming up from all sides. But you won't even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still." Our position is in him. And if we would stand in him and watch the victory of the Lord. Because he is with you, O people of Judah. So do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out and stand, for the Lord is with you. And then after that, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers, worshippers, to walk ahead of the armies. And they worshipped and they sang, "Give thanks to the Lord. He is faithful and his love endures forever." And they sang as the armies walked out. And at the very moment that they began to praise and sing to God, the armies started turning on themselves and they killed each other. They turned on themselves because God was with them. And not only that, after it all, Judah and King Jehoshaphat, they went out and they gathered all their plunder. They got all their stuff. And it's called the Valley of Blessing today. God blessed them. And so what's our position? It's to be in the Word, to be in prayer, and to worship our God, and to stand. And when we stand in faith with our eyes fixed on him, the battle is his. We don't have to battle if we would just fix our eyes on him. And so I just want to leave you with that today, to encourage you that maybe things, so many things going on, that you've just taken your focus off him. But today's the day to remember where to put it back. Put your eyes on Him, because He is faithful. He is faithful. And we faced a lot of battles, you know, and I know we'll face more, but we're girded. We're girded with the armour of God. And whatever comes, we've learned to stand and to stand firm. And so I just want to encourage you with that today. And so as we sing...